Hello everyone, welcome to Podtacular Special PAX Edition for 2018. We are in a roundtable room, a legitimate roundtable this time, and I am joined by quite a few people. My head count looks like 10 right now. We're just going to go around the room and say who we are. So starting to my right.
Hey everybody, I am Church, lead developer of Installation Overwatch.
Hey guys, I'm Hidden Xperia, YouTuber. That's about it.
Lore guy.
Yeah, lore guy. Guy.
Yep.
I'm Late Night Gaming. You've probably heard me screeching about art styles for the last 2 years.
I'm a field train, also Installation 01.
I'm Masters 1337. I'm the lead developer and founder of the SPV3 mod for Halo CE.
I'm Major Thesk, part of the Covenant Canon crew and Sins of the Prophets.
Hi, I'm Lava Hub, and I'm the technical lead for the Sins of the Prophets mod /12 version on Season Square.
Hello, I am Brendan Lowry. You might know me as Lore. I write for Windows Central.
Hello, I'm Kiggles, KG6LC, also known as Captain Halfjaw. I am a cosplayer of 4th and also Anvil Station, and also part also of the Sins of the Prophets as an audio developer. I'm from Portland.
I'm Jamie, aka Super Destroy from Sins of the Promise, and I'm a 3D artist. I need you to move in a circle.
Yeah, I can pick you up.
So we are just wrapping up day two of PAX. For a lot of us, we got to participate in Community Day at the studio, which they host every year. And I think for the rest of us, we got to go see the studio and got to see the Halo Museum. So you guys have been seeing tweets of a lot of Halo merch and some long-time Halo collectible stuff. That would be why. Because a lot of the Halo family is here in Seattle, and it's one of those things that you do, even PAX, being a Halo fan. There's nothing really big to talk about in Halo this year, so I figured tonight would be a good time to...
What's new? Nothing's changed, man.
I think since the Infinite announcement, that's for sure.
Talk about that helmet. Remember the piano key? That was pretty cool.
There's certainly nothing else we can talk about.
Off to a great start.
We can talk about how the power comes.
Well, why don't we discuss everything that, like, everybody's favorite part of the Halo movie? That'd be fun.
Yeah. So we'll go around in circle and let everyone say what their favorite part of the museum is, and it changes every year, so. If you guys are going to talk about the past, there's a new reason to talk about it. So I'll go ahead and start with myself. Favorite Halo Museum item for me was probably seeing some of the new community editions. So we had the sniper rifle from last year. There was a coin that was produced by some of the community members as well. So seeing community stuff actually getting added to the museum is one of the really cool things, especially since I'm covering community stuff in the podcast. So I think that's the cool thing for me.
See, I really loved the Believe trailer when it first came out all those years ago, and it was just one of the most, one of the biggest things that got me excited for Halo 3, and seeing even just some small sections of the Believe trailer diorama right into the Halo Museum was really incredible to me.
Yeah.
Yeah, I gotta agree with Church. Seeing the Believe diorama in person was crazy. It was cool. So yeah, the Believe diorama.
Hey, that Halo.
If you hear us laughing,
we need to address the loud noise.
Keep going. We're fine, guys. We're fine. Don't worry about it.
So we are recording this in a cafe room in a Megavolt's hotel, and the cooler just went off.
The refrigerator turned on.
So,
and immediately the two engineers have been rushed over.
Oh, I know, right?
We can fix this.
Where's the thermostat now? Just turn it off,
where's the duct tape? That's something.
So, right, we should get back.
Yes, back on topic.
It will not be a clean cut podcast, that's for sure. But
it's got a nice ambiance.
Shut up and answer the questions.
If I was in the background, I'm watching what it does.
Oh,
I thought the ghost was really cool. It was
quiet, not loud.
Not like this.
It didn't turn on randomly at bad moments.
So actually, topically now, fun fact about the ghost. It's a life-size ghost in the Halo Museum, and it is a community creation, which is really
it's just a little short and awesome.
Now,
they got it from New Zealand, right?
Yeah, no, yeah. It was a what we were told by Grim was that it was a group from New Zealand that made it and donated it to the Halo Museum. So that is pretty incredible.
Yeah, it was even interesting because he talked a little bit about the hurdles they had to go through. Because hey, turns out like America runs on a different electric grid than New Zealand, so they had to like kind of like without breaking it, make it work in America.
Yeah,
because there are lights on it. It looks really cool.
LED lights. So I probably five volts DC.
Not even just to mention delivering in here. Like, I'm imagining the customs officer being like, what the heck?
What's this purple thing?
What's this thing? Motorcycle. Space motorcycle. Space strike. The space strike.
There you go.
Space strike.
Is that just like marksman weapons?
See that achievement coming up for Halo Infinite? Space strike.
I would not be opposed to that.
Get a triple kill with ghost spiders.
Right, so what was...
I hate to get copycat, but I was going to say the ghost as well.
And
it's a good piece.
It's a really cool...
It's just beautiful.
Yeah. The lights on it are very good. Like,
yeah. It was styled after the Reach.
I think so, yeah.
I
love the Reach model because there's just this micro detail on it and the purple machine that's just...
The hex pattern?
Yeah,
the purple
is noticeably darker than one of the other games, which is very cool.
Yeah.
I like looking at everything I don't have.
I think we all do. I think we all wish that we had that museum in our back office or basement.
Well, my favorite thing is looking at all the books and like supplementary material they have, like game discs and stuff, and asking people at 343, like, hey, like, what's in that? It's like, oh, it has information. This is like, oh, I'm going to go on Amazon and find one. This was last year, I think I went and I ended up buying like a Halo Wars 1 soundtrack with like a bonus disc, which had like two other tracks. I thought it would have more. It said bonus disc with exclusive content. But then also like the strategy guide and stuff. I'm actually putting some of my stuff for my personal collection in it too, because I'm trying to get rid of a lot of my junk.
Yeah.
Not that it's junk, it's cool Halo stuff. But it keeps up too much space in my apartment.
Yeah, you still have room for it anymore.
Yeah, I have the same thing. I don't have room where I'm living right now for a lot of my Halo gear. And my family keeps saying, you should sell that. There's so much money that you can give for that. And I'm like, dude, this is my Halo collection. I wouldn't sell that for anything.
I'd sell you first.
Yes.
Oh,
organs are worth a lot on the black market nowadays, so...
eBay, I mean...
You're
a lot
for
like,
a whole family?
Yeah, that's Craigslist.
The package deal.
I'm going to have to wrangle this one in really quick on that.
The good thing, though... I hope 343 doesn't listen to this too much. Grim, stop
this
right now.
There's a couple people like you.
If you donate stuff to the Halo Museum, it's still kind of yours, I think.
No.
What? Like, you can loan stuff to the Halo Museum.
I think certain items, loaded.
Yeah, certain items, yeah.
So, I guess I'll give it to them until I want it back in 20 years.
I want my thing back.
Old man has
that's
But no, I really like seeing the collection of everything in the history of the franchise there, and it's cool like when you realize you have something that's not there to like contribute to it and like let other people enjoy it too.
Well, I gotta say, that's a really tough one. Well, obviously a lot of Covenant memorabilia, but I think my favorite has got to be the Fleet Battles table, where it's like it looks like a holotable from Halo Wars. And they have
it's the one from Fort of the Dawn.
Yeah, I think it's Fort of the Dawn.
Is it the one they used in that HoloLens demo, right?
No.
It's not that one.
But it has these painted models from the Fleet Battles. UNSC on one side, Covenant on one side. What's really cool is one of the Covenant ships has a Banished style paint job. It's CAS, the Massive Assault Carrier, for those who are
not well versed in the lore.
No, if Jeremy Cook painted, I think, all of those. He was
painting
all of them. Jeremy Cook is the art director for Halo Wars 2 and Halo 2 Anniversary for people who don't know who he is.
Because they all come in gray, right?
Covenant
comes gray, and I mean, not Covenant. Yeah, UNSC comes gray, and Covenant comes purple.
Well, other than the fleet battle stuff, of course, my favorite part of it is all of the Forward Unto Dawn props and stuff in the actual series. They actually have an absolute ton of stuff for like characters and all the uniforms and set pieces and everything else all over the place throughout the entire museum.
They have a giant cryopod.
Yeah, they had to cut the ceiling apart for that too.
It's
crazy.
It literally got like. I just noticed that.
That was like the highlight of the tour last year because they had just gotten it there, and they're like, "We got it all in here. We got it all set up. We even had to cut a hole in the ceiling. Like, there's literally like the struts that like support the ceiling tiles are like carved around, and there's that funky shapes carved in the ceiling tiles. It's really cool that they managed to do that."
I would say my favorite part is honestly, I love all of it, but something I wasn't expecting to see there that I really liked was the fact that they had a bunch of like Forge maps framed up in like picture frames. And I thought that was really cool because I like it sort of to me represents the fact that they think that part of Halo's history is what the community makes for Halo. And it was really cool that they framed these really good Forge maps and put them on the wall as like a here's what the community has done for Halo, and these maps that people that love and play all the time are now considered part of Halo history. I guess that was like a pleasant surprise.
They also had like a very large digital picture frame that was showing off like artwork.
Like community artwork and stuff.
I missed that.
There was a very popular one. I'm forgetting who the artist's name is, but it's that art piece for the Dungeons & Dragons spinoff of Halo that was created by one of the community members, Mythic. I'm forgetting, but it's like a big Forerunner platform. It has a Leap Miner and Leap Zealot, and it has this really, really cool looking like skirmisher and almost like these ceremonial robes.
Huh.
It was a big art piece that I'm sure you guys can probably find on Twitter. Big thing that I've heard has been going on, like they've been making it for years, so if you're interested in like tabletop role playing, definitely check that out.
You know what else is cool? They have a picture there that's like a mosaic made of like 100,000 different Halo images. You know, it's funny because I had like a playing about Captain Keyes' uniform in MCC because it's not the same as an Xbox, and I was looking on it, and the picture is like, well, you guys can't see, but I mean, like, it's like the size of your like your thumbnail on your pinky. And I was like,
talking about the Halo Festival or a different
picture? I don't know if it's a Halo Festival, but it's a mosaic. But I was like looking at it, like pointing at stuff in it. But also, they also have like these really huge, like high res, like movie poster sized posters of the book art, including like First Strike and Fall of Reach, the second edition ones or the updated ones. And those are super cool.
I mean, actually, to add to you, Lauren, the community involvement with the Forge part, don't get me wrong, I was at RTX 2 years ago. They made an announcement. They said there's 300,000 Forge maps made. I just realized I would never live long enough to play all of them. I kind of had a mortal view. I heard that. I was like, man, I'm going to be able to sample all these maps, ever.
Yeah, the Forge community is ridiculously
massive. Five, it's exploded.
Like, to see how many maps are made, just like, even like every day, there's usually one map or two maps that could like released.
Well, see, a lot of the competitive people, and even a lot of the casual people, they saw Halo 5 Forge on PC, and they're like, hey, I don't like this because it's not a good multiplayer experience. But you know what it is? A magnificent Forge toolset that you can control with hotkeys and a mouse and a keyboard. You have any idea how incredible that is for Forge?
It is literally Neil Gary's mind.
Yeah, it is.
It is.
It's enabled people to do stuff that, like, and don't get me wrong, people did some crazy stuff in Halo Reach Forge, but the far above and beyond what has been possible in Forge since Halo 5 Forge on PC is just incredible.
Yeah,
incredible.
Like precision.
Yeah,
just like watching people put like individual like one by one pixels in like a space and then add something. Like just watching how people are able to take just the littlest of details and put it on a map and have it work where it adds both to the aesthetic and then it also adds to the gameplay. And it's like I consider myself a decent forger, and I've made like one good map. And it's insane to me how many maps people make. Like it makes my map look like dog shit in comparison.
But yours is good.
But okay, but like just but you get what I mean though. Like there's so much talent that Forge enables.
It's pretty overwhelming.
It is. Like to be like I know Sean on Forge Labs, like he made videos on people's maps every day. And still, there were maps that were not being featured just because there are so many good ones.
Oh, tons.
So,
I mean, like, artwork is incredible. Like, you see, like, Godzilla running around in the or whatever, and it looks crazy.
The Japanese Forge,
wasn't there, like, a transforming Megazord somebody did?
Yeah. They made a giant Spartan robot that was, like, scripted to hunt and kill players. And, like, all of us were trying to figure out, like, how the hell they did it. Because, like, even the basic scripting, like tutorials and stuff, the game kind of helps you figure it out. Like, none of that ever gets told that it's possible, and they found a way to make it work. Which is, like, ridiculous.
Dude, people had a working calculator.
Yeah. Wait,
people made a working calculator?
Yeah.
There was a calculator.
And not just, like, scripting-based stuff, but, like, just visually some of the stuff that people have done.
Yeah.
I remember when it first came out, one of the more popular maps that was made on Halo 5 Forge for PC was a Last of Us map. That was like, it was like made like to really like closely emulate, the like the levels and aesthetic and environments of Last of Us. And it was just visually stunning. Like,
yeah.
it was incredible. It, like, I had no idea how they did it because like they had like walls and they had like bushes and it like felt like an overgrown alleyway in a part of the city. Mm-hmm. They had like street lights. And like buzzing insects and all sorts of stuff like that. And I was like, okay, this is still Halo, but I've never seen this before. And it's incredible. Absolutely incredible.
I remember seeing, what's the map with the city? The BTB map? It's like a Halo 2 remake.
I've seen the Headlong
remake that they made for multiplayer. Somebody took that map and like ODST-ified it. Like they gave it really heavy rain and then they made things very dark. And then, like, flashing lights, like, flickering lights and burning cars and stuff and bodies. And it was like, this feels like I'm walking through Halo 3 ODST. And it was like, just to change the skybox alone, the amount of, like, different feeling you can give a map is crazy. So, yeah, Halo 5 Forge, I think, cannot be understated how amazing, or overstated how amazing it is.
I can only hope that for future games that they do the same thing, where they make the tool set available at such a high level of precision and such a high level of accessibility.
Well, I would like to see something kind of go along the lines of Halo Custom Edition or Halo 2 Vista, where if it's powerful enough on Infinite, because of the unofficially confirmed fact that it's supposed to be on PC, then give us the PC editors where community can actually legitimately make their own maps. From scratch.
They're like levels. Like, I've played a few custom campaigns on Custom Edition,
mm-hmm.
and people have made like single player RPGs out of them. And it sounds weird, right? But it's crazy how like you can actually walk around a place and you can like have dialogue with characters. And it's so strange.
It's not one on the spaceship.
Yeah, and there's one where like they use Halo 3 models.
Yeah, I think it's Takedown.
You never would think this would be a thing, but it is. Like, I think the one you were talking about, Luke, the one where you're in ODST, they made a fully choice-based story where you could actually make a choice and it would completely influence what you would do. So, like, the endly amount of, like, death to it was crazy to the point where by the end of the game, you were playing as an ODST and you could, like, join the Covenant and stuff. Like, it didn't make sense. Like, lore perspective, it did not make sense. But the fact that somebody actually made a choice-based Halo game kind of blew my mind.
There's XCOM stuff based, too, like where it's like, bird's eye view, and you can tell your units where you want to
like,
run, and they'll go there and, like, fight.
There's even one in Arthur's as well, where you can spawn units in. Like, it's like, you have a super rifle crosshair, and it's a top-down view, you can, like, spawn units in. And actually control them in real time, but it's in CE.
That's neat, and it's like, if that were to happen for like a modern experience, can you imagine? I mean, look at what, like, we just finished talking about Forge. And you know the talent is out there.
Yeah.
So just to have the tool, would like that would legitimately make me extremely excited.
It's simple. And build it, and they will come. They will.
You
give them the tool set. Let them learn how to use that tool set. It's which was easy to use. Five got more complicated control scheme. I simpler something with mine, but the more you can do with these control sets, the more you get towards basically having your own. It's basically a sub game engine is what it is itself. If they can manage to script that properly, make it so it works out infinite. It'll be, on the pond, a game changer. You're looking at it now, approaching the singularity of Gary's Mod in a Halo atmosphere, which is something we all would love to have eventually.
Yeah, and if you remember when Forge itself from Halo 5, not even the PC version, was first rolling out, but in the corresponding 6 to 8 months, and then again when Halo 5 Forge for PC rolled out, Tom French was on Twitter like all the time.
Okay.
Like, it exploded, and it was interacting with people, and he was explaining, like, technically, this is what's happening, like, this is why we're doing this, and this is what we're doing. But, like, more often than not, he had to say, like, yeah, we'd love to do that, but it's a technical limitation of the engine. Everything that we've seen from the Slipspace engine and everything that we've seen, just like, even technology hardware in games and in PC, and even in console hardware, like, the leap from the Xbox to the Scorpio to the Xbox One X was literally generational in terms of and it's going to be again, like in the future, and on that kind of hardware and with that kind of horsepower and with the benefits of the up and coming Slipspace engine, I can't wait to see what happens with Ford.
Building off your point, I think we should go around and ask everybody what's one feature they want from Infinite Forge that you would like die to have. Because I'm sure we all have some very nice ideas. I have a feeling there's one that we all share.
We could go reverse order.
Okay, let's
mix it up.
I'll start.
With Peter.
I would like to have, this is crazy, two things.
One thing.
You're not getting around me, mister.
Be smart.
Okay. Mouse and keyboard support, or better yet, 3D mouse support in the console version. This way you can actually drive your model using a 3D camera, a keyboard, mouse.
Yeah.
So you have much better AutoCAD capabilities, because it works for AutoCAD, why not for a game engine?
Yeah.
And the reason why that would be good is not everybody has a computer that can run Halo 5.
Mm-hmm.
So the ability to get all that precision with a mouse and keyboard.
And just learning curve, but I hate the buttons in 5.4.
Like to allow a mouse and keyboard.
I think that's also an Xbox thing, though. That's not just a Halo thing.
No,
it's also
it works in Minecraft.
They're slowly introducing mouse and keyboard functionality on the Xbox, right?
It's officially in the OS. It's down to each game to enable it. But the DLLs are already out there, like last year.
Yeah, no, they've been
So it was added.
That's a great idea. I think I would definitely go for, I don't know how they would do this, but like placeable AI. Just let me place AI spawn points.
Yes.
Because, I mean,
with AI
like, yeah, like, and I don't, I mean, I know like Fallout 4 has dynamic AI spawning. So like if you were to go into the developer console and type spawn in 10 raiders or whatever, as people do. But like they will navigate custom things. Like if you make a custom
5 death clubs.
but if you watch them navigate the level, the AI, like if you build a custom whatever, like a settlement location and like try and make the AI like pathway it, they will. They will figure out how to do that, you know? So what I'm thinking is if they were to find a way to make Halo AI and Forge do the same thing, where they will dynamically look, like figure out what they're on and how to traverse the ground like they do in the campaign. And then if you can get that down, then you can make custom firefight maps where like, like, can you imagine having a phantom script to fly in and then AI jump off of it and then fly and it's shooting you and stuff?
That would be absolutely
with scripting, you can have like pieces of cover that will pop up and down over time, or like just forgeable AI that can dynamically pathfind forge maps would infinitely increase Halo's lifespan. Like the game itself. Like, I know I would never get bored of playing custom firefight maps.
Well, and not even just firefight, but to go to the point that you were talking about earlier with the CE custom campaign maps, you can almost create your own story experience in the multiplayer.
Yeah. Or, like, you could even do, like, you could simulate Warzone experiences where, like, you would have two teams, and then at like, intervals, you would have AI dropships come in with, like, elite zealots or something.
Mm-hmm.
And you could give them stats, like, you could do in Reach. So, like, you could make a phantom drop off, like, five cloaked elite zealots with swords.
And as you're fighting the other team, they will, like, cut people up. And it'd be, like, just... I want to see that in the Hegel. That'd be awesome. So,
right, cut here. Get your laughter out.
Now, a little bit of backstory. So we recorded a video that you may or may not be able to find on Twitter.
He's not out now.
The comment section may or may not be, as they say, fire.
Let's quickly explain this so you
know. Okay, stop.
Well, quick question for the audience here. Have you ever heard of T-Pose for Halo 2018?
Because if you haven't heard of it,
yeah, this is us 10 minutes after recording it, and Ross is dying.
Oh my gosh, he really is dying.
So we're going to tie our head out of his misery.
Oh gosh.
No, stop.
Ace, are you modding? Are you moderating?
Yes.
Okay.
Thank you.
Halo needs to leave the room.
He's having a slight moment right now.
He's turning red.
He's redder than my armor.
You might want to step away, Ross. I think you should put away your phone.
Stop reading the comments, please.
I was really messed up, man.
Jesus Christ.
Oh. Okay, I'm just moving on, boys.
Bring it back in.
Oh, that was so weak, squirt him right there.
So
this is probably going to extend to more than just Forge, but I would bring back, like, new playable models. Like, of course, playable elites, but maybe even playable Promethean soldiers, and even though I think you'd be pushing it, maybe brutes, because while the amazing custom games that could be made through, like, you know, CE and a potential, like, modern Halo thing, I think bringing in new playable models would really breathe in new life for the machinima. Mm-hmm.
Which they could use.
Yeah, like, which they could really use. Like, for example...
Machinima's been dead for a while, sadly.
Definitely would be nice.
Well, not dead, but very much
not dead and buried.
Jumping back to Forge, I've seen a lot of more aesthetic style maps. Like, they're not meant for gameplay, they're not for that. And this one I found was like a Swords of St. Helios base camp. Like, it had a bunch of cool things, like tents, phantoms that were parked and actually had hoses connecting to plasma batteries. Then they had, like, these makeshift tyrants that were shooting down these purple phantoms, obviously, you know, Covenant phantoms. And while I was wandering exploring this map, I wondered, now this would make a great machinima setting. And then it's like, but you have no elite models that you could play around with and all that. And, yeah, I really do think that would bring in more storytelling, because, like, when machinima started kicking around, like, you know, CE Halo 2 was kind of goofball, more red versus blue dominating the scene. Mm. Then with Halo 3, it really started kicking off people, well, mostly comedic stuff. Then when Reach came along, that's when it got a bit more serious. Not necessarily intense with the lore, because even then, it was still kind of, the lore community was still kind of, it wasn't something people were coming out with. But with Halo 5, especially for those who really love the Covenant, you're introduced to the fact there was a civil war on St. Helios. You're introduced to the fact that Prometheans are attacking everywhere. Jules Covenant is attacking everywhere. Like, there's so much story potential in the post-war era, and I've said it before, and no harsh love for you 343, but I really do think not having elite models, at least for Forge and just custom games, you know, that alone really cripple a lot of, like, machinima ideas and potential. Especially for ones that are more involved in the Halo universe than just, you know, skits and comedy.
There's a reason there's still a million Reach machinimas and a million Reach
We've plans. All seen Rise of the Spartans.
Oh, heck yeah.
So, you know, or...
We've all seen Elites of War.
I guess we haven't all seen it, but
and that kind of goes back to what you were saying about, like, a modern sort of Halo CE custom edition, where even if we can't have playable elites, something like that would give us the ability to at least, like, play as an elite or something. Like, you could transition the animations or something from the campaign elites to your elite.
I don't know. I'm not a technical person, so I don't know the specifics, but I think there are people that do, and they're passionate about it. So it's definitely a good idea.
So on that note, I think the SPD3 master
My request for Forge is to not have Forge and release the full Slipspace tool set so we can do whatever the hell we want.
I'm in.
There we go. But since that's not a request for Forge, I would actually love to see them put some on the PC version, have some Windows VR MR support, and let you actually move around and like build it like you're building it out of Legos and stuff like that. I think that would be super cool. Yeah, out of Mega Bloks.
You know, that's like people are going to start making jump scare Forge maps then.
Right? But they already do.
Yeah, they script like Olive the pigs that are like black to like walk out of a spooky cave and they'll like spook you. Like they're pitch black. Like they're the color of the night sky.
Beware the black piggy.
But like, and like the cave will be really dimly lit, and you'll be walking past it, and all of a sudden, like an owl of the pig will like scream out of the
whale
cave.
Thing comes flying.
And like they'll attach like monster sounds to it with magnets, and then group the object together, and then make it all run out of the cave. So it's like the screaming owl of the pig, and like you're just like, oh, what the fuck? And it's like it's hilarious. So, two things on that. There was actually a really cool Forge map series someone showed me where it's actually a campaign built in Forge, like with zombies, where it's like a series of levels. As you go through them, you have to work as a team to like get doors open and stuff.
Oh, the prop hunts.
I don't know what the name of it is.
Prop hunts, right? Underwater one.
I saw it
about a year and a half ago, right? 2 years ago? That it popular? Yeah.
No, it was right after Halo 5 Forge for PC.
That's right.
Yeah, but also I was more getting than being able to navigate them in VR, be able to like sit on the floor and like build like you're playing with like Mega Bloks or Legos and just go into your tool chest and spin it around and place stuff rather than have to, you know, use the controller or the keyboard to like place a piece and raise it up or down. Just take the controller and like place it where you want. I think that'd be super cool.
I haven't played Halo 5, so I don't know what is.
Lost the planet. Earn their model.
Late night gaming can't stop laughing. Sorry.
If it's not in there,
do we need to pass over?
We're good.
If it's not in there, I think it'd be cool to be able to place like a camera on all the other stuff we've already said, like added in. Like you have like AI or something, or you have someone else. So you can have like multiple cameras within the same match kind of thing. Or maybe in like theater mode, you'd be able to switch between them. I think that'd be cool. Or like even like if you could script like a cutscene to go off in the middle of the game. Things like that.
What if cameras are an object you can place that can follow a predetermined trail? You can animate a camera. When you hit go.
Not even really keyframes, just like.
Keyframe camera, like animation software.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. You can do a lot with a bunch of cameras.
Well, you're pre-recording Spark in as an nth player at the same time dumping
it. Here's the thing, like these are like tools that are part of every engine. It's just a matter of whether or not they buy the skin for it on the GUI that allows us to like
the back end's there. It's a matter of making it easier how you use it.
Exactly. And it will be as accessible as they choose to make.
So do you guys know how like in Forge they would have like the TV screens? What if we could like attach, like I wouldn't say attach, but
attach like one of the cameras.
Connect the cameras to
link
the TV
a camera to
the
TV. Yeah.
So like, let's say you're in a USC base.
I can say that's probably not likely to happen, and I'm just speaking from a technical perspective here because that involves rendering two scenes at once.
Exactly.
Picture in picture.
It's not just picture in picture, like
right.
From an engine perspective that. It would be
basically
cool.
Split screen multiplayer. It is kind of split multiplayer.
Yeah, it's like split screen multiplayer, but imagine doing that like 8 times instead of just twice.
You'd have to limit it to like 4.
But the fact that we're talking about this in the sense that like the Slipspace engine is allowing more things to happen than it doesn't is like exciting, you know?
Yeah.
So,
absolutely.
Late Night Halo, your.
I'd like theater mode to come back to Forge. Like, I think theater mode.
That is Forge.
Yeah, it's Forge.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, outside of Forge, like, obviously you're creating all your cool stuff, but, like, a lot of the fun machinimas that we were just talking about, that was done in the theater mode. Like, you see the monitors floating around and stuff, like...
Oh, I see what you're saying, yeah.
Like, and as well as
just that... Being able to have
that, save
films. Oh, save for four. So, yeah, it's not in Halo 5, and I don't...
And
I
mean, you can't save Forge films.
Yeah, so it's...
Right,
it's
okay.
Just
high lapses
to... Yeah, it's disappointing that some of that the user point. Stuff has been stripped away. Game by game.
Yeah, no, I didn't... That's a good point. I
conspiracy theory.
Well, Infinite can be where it all comes back.
Yeah.
Infinite possibilities.
That joke's alright. Alright, boy.
I'm sorry, that might
be a hidden Xperia.
I just want to say, Forge by AI, I've said already, but like, that would be so huge.
Mm-hmm.
Script by AI.
Would be
massive.
Huge. Really big.
It would be huge. And now that'd be sick. Yeah, that would be sick.
Now, what if you could make the AI fight each other too?
Well, yeah, that's scriptable though. Like,
right, so you could say like all covenant, yeah. Like all covenant enemies.
As soon as you said scriptable flood, his eyes just went like.
You could assign like faction tags to AI, so like you could make a squad of elites and assign them the Swords of St. Helios tag, and then you could make another one and call them covenant, and then you could say you could script like a behavior to them, so you could say all sorts of St. Helios elites attack covenant elites.
Yeah, yeah.
Or like, and then you could have some fun stuff where like you could have the flood and the covenant fighting.
I mean, technically, we've seen code kind of like this in the squad mechanics in the campaign.
Yeah. Where you could give orders.
Yeah. Yeah, but like specifically being able to prioritize objectives for your squad.
Right. So like taking that and like
I saw
and like sort of broadening out into something you can select. And then as they spawn in-game, they will do what you tell them to. That would be really interesting.
I'm thinking, too, you combine that with my camera idea, pulling up above, you got an RTS going.
Yeah, like, that's what's so incredible about this idea, is, like, we could take this to limits that are more than just custom firefight, even though that's what I would probably do with it.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, like, what you're saying with this camera idea plus Forgeable AI, you could have people, like... Like, I don't know, like if you can make an assault rifle that bullets cause like elites to spawn or something stupid. But like, wouldn't that be fun though? Like shoot the ground and here comes some men.
You know what would be even funnier? If like,
whenever
you
spawn them,
whenever you shoot the gun and spawns elites, it goes with the, like that class, like that really famous. Especially if you have it on one of the
Could you just imagine a room full of hundreds of entities to make the horn sound effect? Like just so many.
Well, I think that's gonna be Game Cheese next video.
But that's what makes this idea so good, is that it allows for both extremes of the spectrum to exist. Like, you could totally meme the f*** out of it, but you could also make... And then on the opposite side of the spectrum, you have very well-made, serious modes.
Why are you farts, Maps?
Breathe, Dross, breathe!
This is great. This
do is you, magic. Do you see
yep.
Okay. So.
Oh no.
Folks, he has fallen off his chair.
And he can't get up!
Let's not break the
socket.
Don't drink extreme kids.
Yeah. He's gonna need an Uber tonight, folks.
Oh yeah.
No, I can't.
I just walked home. You're 20 miles away across a bridge.
All right, Church.
Okay.
What about you?
As the only sane person, no, I'm kidding.
I think that's tough.
So we kind of saw this in Halo 5's Forge, but I love like different like so like you could spawn in like any object and then you could give it a different material like oh I want this to be wood, I want this to be brick, I want this to be rock. I want to see more of that. I want to see like 15 different types of like material permutations. I want to see material blending, like maybe vertex based, vertex based material blending. And like in Halo 5, we could like, you could switch the lighting of the map and it would make like one material appear to be look like a different material, but it was really the same material. But like
with vertex-based material blending, you could literally, like, make this area a desert, make this area like a swamp, like different things like that. And, yes, it would be so wonderful, and we saw just a taste of this material terrain editing. Just, like, terrain shaping, like, lift it here, lower it there.
It's funny you say that.
What's up in Halo 2?
Halo 2, the Halo 2 Vista map-making tools, you could shape terrain.
Well, in the Halo 2 Anniversary,
could do
that too.
I never played Halo Vista, that map-making. I only played the campaigns on the PC versions. So, you're telling me that you actually do basic bomb editing to do terraforming.
Yeah, essentially.
Yeah, with Halo.
You have so much on your budget, your polygon budget.
Absolutely.
Oh,
just by shaping
yes.
different things. Yeah.
You have Halo 1 and 2 PC, it's then all done in 3DS Max.
Yeah.
So you just make your mesh there, import it.
But then those are rendered out.
Really?
Yeah. Tool will give you a ton of errors because it sucks. But then eventually you learn how to use it after like 30 years.
You just.
Didn't they finally get a plugin for Blender?
Somebody is really the best way to do it.
Yeah,
there's a student license.
There's a Mac script that will literally export it as a BSP, and then you can just import it.
Oh, the BSPs.
Yeah.
Oh.
That's wrong.
So
your five still use that.
Welcome to 10 years ago.
your idea of like terrain stuff with this actually gave me an idea of how like we could make a mountain. So if we were to make a piece of terrain half snow and half grass.
Oh
so,
my god.
Like, as, you know, or like rock or something. So you could make the top of the mountain snowy, and then as it goes down, it like transitions smoothly from snow to rock to grass.
So procedural based or height based.
So we could make very realistic looking like terrain.
Yeah, you could have probably like texture maps apply it at certain heights.
Yeah, so like the higher you go,
the
snowier.
There's some D heights.
Yeah.
Or like if you reach a height threshold, things start to become snowier and snowier.
Well, actually, here's how you do it. Really simple. You have an object. We'll call it a cylinder. Okay, it's very simple. Mm-hmm. At zero on the cylinder's height, the memory is the map is one texture. You'll declare a middle point and a top point. A middle point would be where the transition point is. So basically, so like the Red Bull can in front of me, basically would have in essence. You choose snowy or grassy based on 2 points, and the game would simply blend in the middle. It'd be an automatic blending of two different.
He means it would be like a gradient.
Yeah, a gradient.
So you would select. I want this part to be very snowy. I want this part to be very grassy.
And I want the middle point to be at this Z height of the
object. It's more so you have the natural gift of talking.
Sorry.
No, that's nothing to apologize about. That's a personal flaw. You have the ability to construct sentences incredibly quickly.
That's my ability, imagination.
I wish I could.
So, for you, what would be
auctioneer?
What? What would your forge thing be?
So, I don't know if this is exactly Forge, but I would see it kind of as an extension of Forge, but a source filmmaker version for Halo.
So like the full tool set with the ability to import models and everything.
Yeah, be able to
that
import
could go
models.
South very quickly.
Animated for Machinima.
Yeah, no, well, animations I think would be the biggest thing from that is being able to do your own custom animations.
You know what's sad?
And with the Windows stuff, if you could do it in VR and you can like do some motion.
You know what's sad though? They kill the Kinect 2. That would have been a great tool. That would have been a great tool to actually use for basic mocap. You can mocap things. Oh my gosh!
So let's use that for CE. Let's do a sidebar. Let's talk about the Kinect for a second. So I have been a believer in the Kinect since it first came out. I have not been a believer in the Kinect for games.
Oh,
it was
came out, you saw a whole bunch of medical applications.
It was marketed really poorly, but it tells you something that the moment the Kinect came out. My university was like, and we're now offering Kinect dev kits for students that want to do projects. We're like, wow, yeah, that's awesome.
It wasn't like the Kinect. It like its marketing was just basically like, here's this cute fluffy tiger you can
animals. but like as a developer tool, it had completely like unrealized potential. And the Kinect 2, can I just say the technology behind that was nothing short of incredible. Like, you could detect differences in temperature on your skin and like, all sorts of crazy stuff. Like,
I've only spent one remote cabin in any area spot so far.
Yeah, Kinect 2 had, it had individual finger tracking.
Really?
Yes. It was crazy. It was incredible, and unfortunately, it was more or less scrapped from
that. Well, it's a shame that it's one thing that it's killed from the gaming community. It's one thing, but the fact that actually ceasing the production of the actual sensor.
Yes, that's the thing.
And I have two hoarded away for that purpose. Now,
was it badly marketed, or was it made for an audience that didn't want it?
Latter, I think.
Probably both.
Probably both.
Both. Yeah, because as far as games go, the Kinect was nothing short of a nightmare to deal with.
Like
the old Xbox UI and the way they compromised a lot of stuff to like shoehorn in this thing that
barely. Do you guys remember Common Development Anniversary? You could technically you could shout at your TV to do things and you have a wall throw a grenade and do it.
So gimmick of it, throw a grenade, I'd rather just hit LT. Like,
yeah,
like,
but it's funny though.
Was it funny?
I thought
about voice commands. Something that's not really infinite or may not be, who knows? But I would see is, you know how in Halo 5 you can even drop a waypoint for your
commands?
What if you could start using voice commands? Lock, Chief Kelly, go here. Two clicks up. Or you start giving commands to your Marines.
You have to have some kind of intelligence.
I can't even
think about
the
intelligence. But what is
the AI would be, has to be very advanced.
Can't think about
or they would either have to be advanced or they would have to have. You would have to, there would have to be a set number of, keywords.
Well, yeah. But remember, the Cortana...
It's just
you couldn't just be, lock B, go over there, dumbass. You'd have to say something smart.
Go to the...
You couldn't be stupid and mean with it. You'd have
attack
to
attack those hunters. And if hunters in front of
you,
it'll go one together.
I'm going to try this command on this character and see what happens.
Yeah,
that'd be fun.
So, two, three, four things. One, there's actually, as far as Kinect application, there's a museum in D.C. where they have an exhibit where you can paint on the walls, and they have, about, I want to say 20 Kinects I counted when I was there doing stuff, but all the technology of the Kinect is in that notch on the iPhone X.
Yeah.
All that stuff that was in the Kinect, the dot projection stuff, that's all, they're using now.
It's shrunk down.
Shrunk down into that little notch.
HoloLens 2 may have it, too, or 3. The new HoloLens rumors have it. Yeah.
So it's crazy. The tech didn't go away. It's not made its way into the applications it could.
The applications are
Apple moving to it.
There's some very interesting ones. I've
seen way more than that.
Whether or not you believe in paranormal stuff, I've seen them use the Kinect to try and get apparitions on camera. it's weird. They will and whether or not it's faked is up to your belief. But they'll sort of walk in front of the dots, and you'll notice the dots are hitting this thing, and they're refracting off of it.
Yeah,
I'm not saying it isn't, but I'm saying it's interesting that they're using it in that way.
It's hey, Ghost, would you like to play Just Dance?
Yeah,
My problem with the Kinect is if I put my feet up, or if my cat ran through the room, the Kinect would make it with my hands. So I'd put my feet up on the table, and it would pause whatever I was watching, or if the cat went running through the room to go get some food or after a ball, it would fast forward my movie.
That's a scroll wheel.
So I had to take tape and put it over the lens, just use it for voice control.
Oh, jeez.
Yeah. That's what they had. It had the voice commands.
I like the voice commands are back. You can now use them with the headsets.
Stupid, though. I like sitting on my couch, and doing stuff.
I like sitting on my couch.
That the ultimate way, man. I came home one time,
turn on the
Xbox.
TV, you know?
Come on, Netflix.
I'm just flipping my hair.
Turned off my Xbox.
See, I wish I would put a microphone on the console and on the controllers.
Or how about this? Just put USB sound card support in the Xbox. We'll bring our mic for $10.
Yeah, but we get wireless headsets we had on the 360 about 10 years ago.
No, there are.
I have two pairs.
Really?
There are
wireless.
And they're baked in. Okay, so this is good. I'm a diehard fan of the hardware side of Xbox.
Yes.
There is Bluetooth in the Xbox. There's an antenna for it. That's why I was told by someone.
It's
disabled.
It's not disabled. It's a Bluetooth 5.0.
It's in the chipset, but they never put a trace on the circuit board to go from the antenna section of the chip to an antenna.
Yeah.
That's all they're missing is a staple size piece of wire. Number two, the Xbox, there is actually some really good third-party, the 600 series.
Yeah.
They don't require any dongles. They don't require it. Oh, you pair them. You just press the pairing button and the one on the headset, and it's good to go. And it requires no wireless controller.
Yeah.
So, you're going to die, it doesn't matter at all.
How much is it?
$90. There's no excuse to buy a wired headset longer.
Solid product placement in our podcast.
No, I love them.
Are there any on the PAX floor that I can mysteriously disappear?
There probably are, some Turtle Beach.
Yeah, there's a whole Turtle Beach section, and they have them there.
Well, I know where Masters is going tomorrow.
Because you can't close on your controller to the floor under the bar baddies pop out, which we all know we do that all the time.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Yeah. Shipping.
Back at 360 days, yeah.
Since we're talking about the Xbox One X, it's like, how about we discuss that hardware a little bit? Because
yeah, we're already engineers. I want it.
So,
well, if they're talking hardware and all that, I'm going to stare at
your... So we'll kind of get to it really quickly. Yeah. But like, the most impressive thing to me was that the Xbox One X went from being like about as powerful as like a mid-range PC from 2012. The Xbox One went from being about as powerful from a mid-range PC in 2012 to being like at the cutting edge of gaming. Like the fact that a console can actually reliably play 4K content. I would say the closest video card to compare to an Xbox One X is probably a GTX 1070. And that's impressive because a GTX 1070 costs almost as much as an Xbox One X.
The price point of the Xbox One X is what makes it special.
Yes.
It is.
Like,
it was a magnificent...
And I'm coming from a position where I am like 90% a PC gamer, but you can't really deny that the Xbox One X is an improvement. Like,
the price to MIPS is amazing.
Now, yeah. Whether or not Microsoft is actually making money on it, I doubt it. Well, here's the thing. Xbox One X was clearly meant to be a luxury console. Mm-hmm. If you had the money to afford in this gen, then you could play this gen's games at their maximum potential.
Mm-hmm. So what I find so cool about the first one is I went back and played Gears of War 2 and 3 and 4K on that thing. Yeah. And man, it's amazing how, like, what is it now? Gears 2 was 2009?
Yeah. Yep.
Like a 9-year-old game can look on it.
Yeah.
Like, but like even really Fallout 3, they turned on Xbox One X enhancements for the 360 version of Fallout 3 that runs on the Xbox One.
Right. That's what it does.
360, like
it upscales it. It like uncaps the frame rate.
It doesn't upscale it. Like, you guys remember, you used to take pictures in Halo 3, and you would see a checkerboard like render it over a period of like 3 or 4 seconds.
Yeah.
To do a super high res shot, it's basically doing that in real time. If games were like following the right. For lack of better words,
sure.
The hardware part actually surprised me with One X is, again, the cooling capabilities. And the first Xbox, the black one, was actually larger than the Xbox 360. It's a huge piece of software. I remember, my mom's VCR in the 90s. It's wild.
It was not only huge, it had an external card.
External brick, which is like, you know, so 90s. So the Slim really cut that down. And I'm like, okay, we got the same hardware-ish, but smaller. But then the icing on the cake is the X comes out. And, oh, by the way, it now has water vapor cooling, technically. And, oh, and by the way, it is 4K in a package that is extremely small.
It's smaller in volume than the Slim.
The thing's water-cooled?
Vapor-cooled. They're using some it's not Freon, it's probably some sort of a refrigerant. Basically, they're using vapor cooling, in essence.
Sweet.
Yes.
So let's switch gears. Oh, sorry.
So, no, I just wanted to say on topic of like Xbox One sales. So interesting thing, if you look at the Xbox top play games chart, which I often do, if you look at the Xbox One X only games, Halo 5 is consistently one of the top played. And the same thing, you know,
probably on the first 4K titles.
Yeah, but it kind of shows that, you know, the power of the Xbox platform and why people buy Xbox. I'm sure you can get like, you know, all these games that are on other systems. But the fact that people who are willing to spend the money on an Xbox One X are spending their time on Halo 5.
It depends on where you go, because depending on the region around the world you are, the top played games shift dramatically.
Sure.
So top played games is such a weird nebulous thing because we don't even know what
it's always the top played exclusive, not the top played game ever. It's just for of all the games available exclusively on Xbox One. It's like always in like slot number one for Xbox One X, and most of the time for Xbox One in general.
Yeah. So we've hit our hour mark.
About my launch, the big gold thing. I mean, I'm gonna bring that up.
If you want to mention it real quick, yeah.
Yeah. So the thing that really interesting happened is that this last weekend, a milestone. I'm Peter here, Kegel's character. I'm a cosplayer. I 3D print armor. I was saying that I never thought I ever actually do, to be honest. I got challenged exactly a year ago to build this giant Elite, and a year later, 22 kilograms of plastic, 1,800 print hours later, I built a 7-foot-4 tall elite, based off a Halo 5 body and the H2A beautiful faced elites in the cutscenes. And it's done. And it's just been an insane ride. The cosplay community is just, we've only got a really good thing Healy out there now, which is great.
Yeah, amen.
Yeah, you'll see you'll see it around social media everywhere.
Yeah,
it's been on the Reddit too. Yeah. So we're going to do a quick around circle. Everyone just shout out your Twitter handles or websites or that kind of stuff.
Church. All right. My personal Twitter is at modchurch, M-O-D-Church, all one word. You can also find us at installation01 and installation01.org. Thanks for tuning in, everybody.
I'm Hidden Xperia. I Hidden Xperia on Twitter. Hidden Xperia on YouTube. Great.
Late Night Gaming, you'll find me.
I'm a field train everywhere, all one word, easy to find. Masters1337, Masters1337 on Twitter with an S, and then with a Z on YouTube, and then we have our subreddit, which is reddit.com/r/HaloSBV3.
Venture Thesk, my app Twitter handle is Thesk underscore Durong, DHESK_DARRAM, and I'm with the Conan Canon YouTube channel. Be sure to check us out for some more.
I'm Super Destroy everywhere, and that's in the province, so you can check that out on our Discord over LotDB.
I am Brendan or Lowry. My Twitter handle is Lord Tarkam. LORTARKAM. And then I also write on Windows Central under Brendan Lauer. So you can find my work there.
And I'm Kegels, also known as Captain Halfjaw. My Twitter handle is Megavolt Services. And also KG6LSE on Discord and other places like that.
All right. And you know where this podcast is coming from since you're listening to it. You can see us more at Podtackler on Twitter. And for more episodes, check out podtackler.com.